rhyme about life ain't nothing. But you either be the one mad cause you trapped or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind waiting on the Lord. A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I'm on the field, show me how, please. Let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow, but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Life or death, live or die. I will never live a lie. I'm gonna get because I try.
What?
I won't quit until I die.
What?
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Amen. If you're faithful, God will see to it that you have plenty of blessing in your life. Amen. And the last one I'm going to cover tonight is this here. Faithful people bring refreshing and peace of mind to those they serve. When you are faithful in the performance of your duties or your responsibilities or the commitments that you make, you refresh those that you're serving or that you're working with. You give them peace of mind. How many of you know that's true? Listen, when I was working at IP, I remember I overheard a conversation one day of some of the other engineers, and they're talking, and they were talking about me, and they were talking about me and comparing me and another engineer, and I don't think that was good, but they were doing that, and they said, well, you know, Greg, he done passed up so-and-so. He done passed them up as an engineer. He said, you want to get something done, give it to him. If you want it done quick, give it to him. Because I had developed a track record of getting things done and being efficient and doing it, because I didn't stand around the coffee pot three and four times a day because I didn't drink coffee. So I worked from the time I got to work to the time I left. I was getting after it. I was working. So at the end of 8 hours, I would be wore out. CeCe, you know, I'd come home sometime and I'd say, CeCe, I feel like my mind is fried today. I feel like my mind is fried. But a lot of them was working 9 and 10 hours a day. And so I kind of felt bad sometime when I would leave after 8 because they working 10. I said, yeah, but I'm working 8. They are their 10, but they might be putting in 6. So I didn't feel bad about it. I said, look, I gave everything I had. 4 o'clock, my mind is fried. I can't take nothing else. My mind is tired. I'm going home. It's time to go. And I left. I worked 8 and a half hours my whole career at IP. Most of the time. I'll never work past 8 and a half. And when IP really introduced their culture into the mill, because it used to be just Pineville Craft, just locally owned, we all worked 8 hours. Engineers, 8 hours, that was it. Then when IP introduced their culture, they liked the engineers to work 10 hours a day, 50 hours a week. That's what they expected. But I didn't never fit into that. And then because my work was always acceptable, then nobody never bothered me. I know some of them would say, well, he leave every day at 4:30, 5 o'clock. But I ain't never had been called in anybody's office about me not getting my work done. Paul surrounded himself with faithful people. And you know, there was a time that he sent John Mark away. He said, John Mark, he ain't going on this trip. And him and Barnabas got in a big fuss over it. And they split up. And you'll never hear another scripture about Barnabas. But then later on, he said, bring John Mark because he's profitable for me for the ministry. Because he had learned something from that discipline that Paul had dished out to him. He understood that unfaithfulness is not going to cut it. And so evidently he had learned some things through that process that Paul now said, bring him with you when you come, because he's profitable to me in the ministry right now. He done learned some lessons. He has grown up and he has matured. And that's what God is looking for out of you. He's looking for maturity. He wants you to grow out of that stage of being unfaithful and unreliable and undependable and disloyal. He wants you to grow into a faithful stalwart that can be depended upon at all times, not just at church, but dependable at home, dependable on your job, dependable in your relationship with your friends. He wants you to be a faithful person all the time. He just wants you to have that character of being faithful. Amen. Let me give you the scripture on it. Proverbs 25:13 says, like the cold of snow brought from the mountains in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the life of his masters. Do you know how refreshing it is when you can commit something to somebody that's faithful? Your mind is at ease and you're refreshed because you know what? You know it's going to get done. If I give you an assignment, I know that's going to get done. I don't even have to think about that no more. Oh, they faithful. They're going to take care of it. If they have a problem, they're going to come back and tell me. But if they say they're going to do it, they're going to do it. Faithfulness refreshes, brings refreshing and peace of mind. Unfaithfulness will make you weary. Working with unfaithful people will make you weary and cause you to be full of anxiety because you don't know if what they're doing is right or wrong. You don't know if it's getting done at all, and you just worry about them. Proverbs 25:13. Okay? So that's as far as I can go tonight. I believe the Lord wants me to hold back on this other part here because we're gonna really dig down into some areas of your life like we did tonight, but we're going to take it another step further in faithfulness, because the kingdom of God operates on the principle of faithfulness. You see, God will not commit the true riches or the big assignments to people that he can't trust. God will just not do it. He will give you a little bit. He'll give you a small assignment, something that seems insignificant to everybody else, and then he'll watch and see how you handle that. But he ain't giving you no big chunk right off the bat. He's not going to give you $1 million for you to manage if you can't manage 100. Well, you better start managing that 100 and that 1,000. Because if you don't know how to manage $1,000, when $1 million come, it'll destroy you. You'll be done bought so many houses and boats and clothes and shoes, and you'll be broke in 6 months. But if you're faithful in a little bit, You're faithful with a little, then he qualifies you for much through your faithfulness. That's how the kingdom works. There's no shortcuts to promotion in the kingdom of God. It all comes through the pathway of faithfulness. I'm talking about with God now. I know man can make some ways for you, and man can put friends and have family connections and all that working and stuff like that, but it ain't of God. But the old buddy boy system don't work in the kingdom. It doesn't work in the kingdom. God looks at your faithfulness. He said, how can I trust you? Are you going to be dependable, reliable, and loyal to the call that I put in your life? If you give your word, you're going to keep your word. He'll look at the little things that you do, and he'll qualify you for much with the little. And so some people think, well, church attendance ain't that important. See, that's a little thing. That's a little thing, right? Oh, ain't nobody going to miss me today. Oh, it don't matter if I'm there. I just go when I feel like it. That's a little thing. See, you'll never be entrusted with anything. You won't work in the church. You won't serve. You know, you won't have any positions because you're just not reliable. You're not qualified. So you can't be given a position in the church because you're not here enough. If God is looking for the faithful of the land to entrust things to, who you think I'm looking for? I sure ain't looking for something God ain't looking for. All right, I'm gonna quit right there. Hallelujah. I ain't looking for nothing God ain't looking for. God won't entrust things to people that's not faithful. Greg ain't either. I would be doing a disservice to the kingdom if you have proved unfaithful for me to entrust you with great responsibility. I'm hurting the kingdom. Amen. So this is not a message of condemnation. We're not condemning anybody. This is really an exhortation for you to examine your life and to identify any areas in your life where you have been slack when it comes to faithfulness. You might be slack on your job, not going on time, taking longer lunch breaks. You may be slack in your finances and just sloppy with your finances, hitting missing on your tithes, not paying your bills on time. Bible said don't be slothful in business. So in taking care of even your personal household, you got to manage all that stuff well. God will look at how you handle the finance. You say, well, Pastor, I ain't making a lot. That's all right. Manage what you have. If you have $100, be able to account for every dime of it. I know where all my money gone. I can account for it. Praise the Lord. Lord, we bless you and give you glory and praise. Lord, we receive the exhortation and the encouragement from the Spirit of God. Lord, we know that you are looking for faithful men and women. And Lord, we are trusting that you are teaching us how to be faithful in the performance of our assignments, the calls, the appointments that you have given us. Help us to be more faithful. Develop that quality in us, Lord. We want it. We want to increase in our consecration to you and our commitment, our faithfulness to you. We'll be faithful, Lord. Go ahead and tell the Lord right now that you'll make a commitment to be more faithful. You got to be faithful in prayer, faithful in reading your word, faithful in helping other people. You know, there's so many areas that we could touch on. But if God's highlighting an area and say, I want you to be faithful right here and start working on that, then just go ahead and work with the Holy Ghost and let him work in you. And say, okay, Lord, I take the challenge. He'll challenge you to come up higher. Amen. And to be a faithful person. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. And just be honest and truthful. Hallelujah.